Kia ora, greetings and welcome to another edition of The Road to Tokyo here on Sky Sport Presents. And as you can see, I'm in my finest beach attire because our guest today is New Zealand's best surfer, Billy Stearman. Billy, great to see you again. It's been a while.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Stoked to be back.
Yeah, man. And, you know, The Road to Tokyo has been an interesting one for you, as it has been with a number of our top athletes. But I suppose your road to Tokyo didn't just start with a provisional qualification of the board. It would have started all those years ago when you first picked up a surfboard and jumped in the water. Why surfing? And when did you start surfing?
Yeah, first of all, I'm from Raglan.
Enough said.
Yeah, enough said. You know, it's a little surfy town in New Zealand. So I guess everyone from Raglan kind of starts surfing because there's not much else to do there. I actually wanted to be a rugby player when I was younger, so I kind of progressed into surfing, and my dad started pushing me down Naranui Beach, down the main beach in Raglan, and I caught the love from it pretty early when I was like 10, 19, and then I progressed onto the points at Manu Bay in Raglan, and I got to a stage where I kind of knew what I was doing, and I kind of told dad to, you know, like, leave me alone for a little bit, and then started competing, and I kind of, you know, fell in love with competing, and I kind of knew I was pretty good at a young age, and I'm super competitive in all sports now. So, it kind of progressed from there, and here I am today.
Yeah, well, with the rugby, like, how hard did you go down that path? I mean, were you going to amount to anything, or did you just nip it in the bud early?
To be honest, I was actually all right, but I was a little halfback, you know, as a young age, but I got to a point when all my, you know, whoever I was facing was just way too big for me to handle. I either had to put on a few more kgs or switch to surfing. So,
or get faster.
Yeah, or get way faster, yeah. So yeah. I kind of, you know, stuck to surfing and skating and, progress from there.
With surfing, it's strange for me because, you know, you're used to, like, team sports. Mm-hmm. And so as part of a team, you've got people out there who watch every Saturday or Sunday when you're playing and they can identify talent. How were you identified as one of New Zealand's best surfers, and when did you realise that, you know, this surfing gig, it could actually become a job for you?
Yeah, like I said, I started surfing when I was 9, 10, and then competing. I had my first major New Zealand national contest when I was 13, which was in Raglan, and I actually won that. It was a national scholastics event. And kind of from there, I got a little bit of a sponsorship and kind of, you know, knew I could maybe make this a career and a lifestyle that I wanted to do. And I always watched surf movies of my favourite surfers and, you know, followed their journey. So it was something I really wanted to do from a young age. And I managed to get some good sponsorship. And like you said, it's a you know, individual sport, so it's quite hard to get funding. And, you know, you're travelling by yourself and stuff. But at the same time, I had a good support crew at the time, and my dad, you know, taught me the ropes when I was young, and I learnt a lot competing and travelling, and I'm a hungry competitor, so I kind of did well overseas, and here I am now.
But is there like a surfing selector that goes around the different beaches throughout
really,
New Zealand?
I guess you kind of got to prove to everyone that you can do it, not only yourself. So there's definitely top in your region around New Zealand, and then obviously you have the Nationals, which is a huge national event, and if you do well there, you kind of progress. It's a natural progression to Australia and around the world. So for me, I guess I just took the right steps as a young boy and progressed to traveling the world and competing around the world, and now I'm qualified for the Olympics, so I'm excited and can't wait.
Yeah, and one of those steps that you took many, many years ago, I think it was about a decade back, Margaret River. Take us back there. You're in a heat against the one, the only, Kelly Slater, and you beat the guy. What happened there?
Oh, man, this is, so normally we go from New Zealand competitions to Australia Junior Series, and then we progress onto the World Qualifying Series at the age of, like, 20. I think I was 21 at the time, and we were competing in Margaret River World Qualifying Series event, a pretty big event. It used to be one of the biggest events in the world, and Kelly Slater managed to be in the comp. So my first heat, I actually had him in my first heat, but two progressed from each heat, and there's four guys in each heat. So me and him progressed, but unfortunately I lost to him in the first heat. But we managed to meet up again in later rounds, and it was just me and him in the same heat. So me being this little guy from New Zealand, no one knew, you know, there's actually a funny clip out there of me getting prepared with my coach at the time, and there's just no one around, you know, it's just me and my coach, and he's kind of, you know, giving me a prep up, and then there's another video of Kelly Slater running out, and everyone's like, ah, you know, yeah, Kelly Slater, you know, 11 times world champion. And then at that time, I had nothing to lose, you know, it was kind of the start of my career, and I had no pressure on me. I was, you know, someone that, you know, not many people knew. Little old raglan New Zealand, you know, putting them on the map. So I went out, and the conditions were actually really big. So I was pretty scared, nervous, I guess, but at the same time, I didn't, you know, I had nothing to lose. So, yeah, I managed to get the two best waves out of that heat and beat Kelly Slater, of all people. I came onto the beach. People really wanted, I felt like I won the comp. People wanted to cheer me up the beach and all sorts. So that's definitely one of at the top of my highlights in my career. And, you know, if it wasn't for that, it probably wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't be here right now with sponsorship and media and things like that. So that was a huge achievement for me. Tick that one off the goals list. You know, obviously he's getting a little bit older now, so you never know how long he's going to compete for. So to say that you've actually competed against Kelly Slater and beat him is, yeah, it's a big big goal of mine.
I mean, even for somebody like me who doesn't surf, I mean, I can't actually swim, so I might need your help with that, Billy, at some point. I'll come down to Raglan and you can help me out. But I know Kelly Slater. I've known Kelly Slater, you know, who he is on TV and film and all that for many, many years. I mean, he was on Baywatch, for goodness sake. He dated Pamela Anderson. And here's you, little Billy Stearman from Raglan, beating the guy. I mean, it must have been just an incredible feeling.
Yeah, it was huge. And after that heat, like, I'd never, you know, dealt with the media so much in my life. And all my sponsors, there's the video, you got to watch the video online, it's really funny. I'm wearing this, like, I've got long blonde hair and I'm wearing this weird hat with these huge aviators. I've kind of just chucked everything on my head, just like, you know, wear this because everyone's going to be taking photos. So, yeah, it was like, now looking back at it, you know, it's a huge achievement and I'm super proud of myself for doing that and stepping up to the plate and, you know, showing the world that, you know, little old Raglan or Kiwis can, you know, beat the best. And yeah, well, I think we're very hungry and good competitors.
Yeah. Fast forward about 5 years from that point, all of a sudden, the sport of surfing, it's ratified as a sport, an Olympic sport. It's going to be at Tokyo 2020. You know, at what point did you allow yourself to dream that you would at one stage be a New Zealand Olympian? Because, you know, when you're growing up, you're 9, 10 years of age, it wasn't an option. All of a sudden, it is.
Yeah, I mean, even you saying that, an Olympian, is just giving me goosebumps, you know. It's such an achievement for me. But obviously, I love all sports, and I always have. Golf, you know, like basketball, everything. Skating, surfing, I like all sports. So I always watched the Olympics and always dreamed of, you know, it would be awesome to be a part of the Olympics somehow. But as soon as I heard surfing got, you know, voted in and it was going to be a part of Tokyo, that was at the top of my goals list. You know, I set everything I could do to achieve that in Japan a year and a half ago now. So that was a huge contest for me. Usually we go to the ISA World Surfing Games as a team, which we did. But obviously there was one spot up for grabs pretty much for Australasia and we each had our own goals. So it was a little bit of a different vibe at the Worlds, I guess. But for me, I had my own goals set and I was going to do everything I could to achieve those goals. And I'm very proud that I did do that.
So, so you're achieving all these goals.
Yeah.
Surfing's at the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And then 2020 happens. And it's COVID-19. And it's not only that, for you personally, it's a grade 3 MCL strain in your knee. And so it's not only the mental side, it's the physical side. How did you cope with 2020, everything that was thrown at you?
Yeah, 2020 was a tough one. I started off really well. I went to Australia and did really well in a few contests. And, you know, the ball was kind of rolling leading into Tokyo. And then obviously, like 2 weeks before, COVID was kind of coming in, you know, February, March. And there was a lot of rumours going around. And then bang, I did an air and landed real wrong and I tore my MCL grade 3 and PCL grade 2 as well. So they reckon I was pretty lucky not to do my ACL as well. So at that point of time, I was like, oh no, like, you know, is this my career done? I'm injured, I'm out for surfing. I can't surf for probably 6 months or a year. So at that time, I was really worried about, you know, coming back to the Olympics and everything like that. And then COVID hit and I came home and we went into lockdown. So if anything, the lockdown kind of helped me really well. So I had time to rehab and recover and, you know, do the things I needed to do to get my knee back into order and, you know, prepare for the Olympics, which I was preparing for last year in 2020. So, yeah, I had 3 months out of the water. I did the right rehab and recovery, and I was training a lot. And, you know, obviously we all had this downtime, and I had, had time to do it. So I did everything I could to get my knee better. And obviously we all come out of lockdown, and competitions slowly come back in. And I ended the season real well last year with the Rip Curl Pro, the Backdoor King of the Point. And I won that. And then obviously coming into nationals this year, I've just started 2021 with a bang with my 8th national title. So yeah, things are looking up, and I guess I've done the right things to, you know, rehab and recover, and things are looking good.
Excellent. We'll talk more about the 8th national title soon, but I want to go back to the whole injury and, you know, the mental, the mind games that would have been taking place throughout last year. In your heart of hearts, Billy, do you think that you would have been able to compete at the Tokyo Games in 2020, given what was going on with your knee situation?
Yeah, it would have been hard. Like I said, I had 3 months out of the water, so from March to June, pretty much, you know, I didn't surf. I was doing everything I could to prepare for end of July Tokyo Olympic Games. Whether I was going to be, looking back now, I probably wouldn't have been 100%, like, probably wouldn't have been able to compete at my top. So it would have been iffy if I had gone. But I'm kind of thankful that COVID might help me out a little bit, you know what I mean? So, it gave me time to recover and rehab a bit more and, you know, get everything on track again.
So what happens in that instance? I mean, maybe you don't even know, but you've provisionally qualified the board. All of a sudden, you're not fit to compete. Yeah. Is there a New Zealand male surfer that just all of a sudden takes your spot? Do they have to qualify again? Do you have any idea what I'm asking you?
Yeah, no, to be honest, I'm not sure how it all works. Obviously, surfing is new in the Olympics, and it's all kind of new and fresh for us, and it's kind of a little bit confusing to figure out everything that's going to... Even qualifying is quite confusing and things like this. So for me, I was just mentally preparing like I was going to go, physically trying to prepare to go. I worked a lot the year previous on mental strength and stuff like that, and trying to, you know, focus in on the tasks in front of me and not worrying about anything, you know, outside of what I can control. And so that helped out a lot. And obviously training and rehabbing was, that was my sole focus at that time. So it kind of kept me distracted off, you know, on anything else. So if anything, the injury was a big kick up the backside. You know, I hadn't trained too much before, and obviously with the Olympics coming up, I want to treat it as a, you know, a professional sport and put myself in the, you know, best mind frame and body I can to medal at the Olympic Games. I really want to medal at the Olympic Games and bring home a medal for New Zealand and surfing, and for the first time, you know, and take New Zealand on a cool journey.
How realistic do you think that goal is?
I think it's realistic, personally. Like, even before the qualification, I knew I could qualify. There was a lot of speculation about how you can qualify and all these procedures that everyone had to do, but I personally had my own goals, and I think I can medal. I've done really well at this location before. Mm. I've actually got a third, I think, in a world qualifying series event before, so I've spent a bit of time there, and I love Japan, you know, it's one of my favourite places to go in the world, so I'd feel real comfortable over there. And obviously all of the hype around the Olympics and being a part of the Olympic team, I think it's a good motivation as well. And yeah, I personally want to bring home a medal.
Okay, so what is it about, and correct me if I'm going to be wrong, I'm pretty sure I'll be wrong on this one, Surigasaki? Is that where the competition's taking place? Chiba?
Chiba, yes.
Yeah.
I think Chiba's quite a big area.
I should have just gone with Chiba. Yeah. I don't know why I said the long one.
Good try, though, yeah. I haven't heard that one before, but I think we're in Ichinomiya, which is like another area as well. So I don't know specifically where... I'm pretty sure I know where the contest is, but even we're still kind of trying to figure everything out, you know. So, like I said, the conditions suit me because I'm quite small in stature. So normally the conditions are pretty small, and I've got some really good boards that I can surf over there, and I feel very confident. My knees came a lot better, and obviously I've started the year off pretty strong, and I'm going to Australia soon to compete, and you know, trying to keep the ball rolling. And I think by end of July, I'll be in peak performance, and I'll put myself in the best possible situation.
And have you looked at like the other guys that are going to be there, and how do you stack up against them?
Yeah, well, I think there's like the top 12 guys in the whole world from the world circuit, the world tour. So there's likes of John Florence, Gabriel Medina, Italo Ferreira. There's some huge names.
You can beat them.
Yeah. Well, I've actually competed with them before. So, for me, like I said before, I've mentally prepared a lot previously. So we're just trying to, it's just, they're all a name, you know. Anyone can win a heat in their day. And it all depends on a lot on surf conditions as well and a bit of luck, you know, because not one wave is the same. So, I just got to prepare myself as the best I can and give it 100%, 110% when I get there. And, you know, hopefully... I can succeed.
Do you like the way that the event itself is structured? Because it's my understanding that you've got a window of opportunity to fit the surfing event into it. Yep. It's not like, Billy, get ready for Tuesday 9 a.m. Yeah. No matter what the conditions are, you're getting out there. Mm. You're actually waiting for the best conditions. Do you like that?
Yeah. Obviously, they wait for the best conditions. For us athletes, I guess, or us surfers, it's good. It's better that we get the better conditions, and it's obviously for the spectators as well, because sometimes surfing can be a bit slow if the surf's really bad. Yeah. But, we like to... Obviously, I think there's 4 days waiting period for the first 4 days, and then if that doesn't happen, I think there's another 4 days, you know, grace period. So, I think we can go 5 days before we compete now, obviously, with the whole COVID procedure and things like that. So I wanted to go super early, and like get used to the heat and the conditions and, you know, the food and just get into a bit of a rhythm. But obviously with all the restrictions and things now, it's going to be a bit different. But, you know, I'll prepare for that and, I'll be ready.
Mm. So with the 20 men that are competing, it's not a true reflection of, like, the top 20 surfers in the world, is it? So are there a lot of guys that would be in the top 20 who aren't allowed to qualify?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I think because they've made it two guys from and girls from each country, that it kind of, you know, narrows down the playing field and it kind of keeps the competition small, which I think I like a little bit better. There's not so many rounds and there's not so many people to, you know, figure out who you got to deal with and who you got to compete against and things like that. So, like I said, there's 12 probably of the best surfers in the world there, and then there's a few like Ramzi Boukaim from Morocco, and I think Carlos Munoz from Costa Rica, and people like that. You know, there's a few random people that have thrown in the mix and representing their country. So I think it's a good playing field, and like I said, I think I've got a really good chance of medaling. It all depends on the draw and the conditions, and you know how you compete that day. But I'm ready to compete. And I'm ready to win.
Bring it on. Yeah. And your form is good. As you mentioned earlier, Billy, 8th national title out at Pihar a few weeks ago. What did that mean to you? Because it's not like it's your first national title. You've been there, you've done that, and then some. So, yeah, given everything that happened in 2020, it must have felt pretty great,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's awesome, especially after injury, after the whole COVID lockdown, and, you know, we couldn't travel and compete anywhere, so... to start 2021 off with a national title, my 8th, I want to keep going until I can't compete anymore, you know. I want to just, the sky's the limit for me in New Zealand, and I love bringing that cup back and putting my name on it and, you know, representing Raglan and New Zealand as well. So it's always an achievement. That's always top of my start of my year, my goals list, and achieving that is a good start, and it's a good confidence booster for me. And I'm ready to go to Aussie and kind of, you know, compete with those guys over there and take it to them.
How was the knee?
It's good. It's good. It's
like 100%?
Along. It's not 100% yet, but I can't really feel it surfing. It's little things, I guess, like little airs and stuff, little tweaks that I can do. I can feel it a little bit more, but there's still a lot of work to do on it. I want to do a lot of work around my whole body and get it really strong for Tokyo. So, I'm ready to work and... get the knee to 100% so I can, you know, compete at 110%. So, I'm getting there.
The the training aspect of surfing. So you're talking about rehabbing the knee, mm-hmm. and it's not just a case of like when it feels good, I'm going to get back out on the water. You're in a gym, yeah. you're doing all sorts of stuff. How much is a surfer's training now just getting in the water or cross training? You know, getting into a gym and, you know, all the right eating and all that sort of stuff. Because I'm assuming back in the day that probably didn't exist for a professional surfer.
Yeah, back in the day, I think it was just a free for all. I think everyone was partying and, you know, rocking up the comps, like all hungover and stuff. But these days, I think following.
Can't do that anymore.
No, you definitely can't do that anymore. I think following Mick Fanning is a good example. He really went down the training path and ate healthy and won, I think, 3 world titles now. And I think there's a huge following after he, you know, done so well. And I think now, especially being an Olympic sport as well, it's you got to be at the top of your performance. You know, you got to be fit, you got to be healthy, you got to be eating the right things. And, you know, it's the epitome of athletes. So you want to be up there with those, you know, high-end athletes. So, you know, and you always feel good after training and eating healthy. You know, you always feel a lot better. So it's all, you know, connected to your mind, and training I think is a huge thing now. And me personally, I've started training a lot more and eating a lot healthier and doing the right things I can to, you know, make myself a peak performer, I guess.
And do you feel that by doing the extras out of the water, you're actually becoming a better athlete?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. I feel a lot stronger in the water. You know, there's long waves out there, you know, you're not as gassed. You know, after a long wave, you're doing 10 turns on a wave. You're using a lot of energy paddling back out. I don't feel as much, you know, I don't feel tired as much. Obviously, I practice a lot in the water as well, even if it's small, big, windy, clean. I'm trying to perfect my trade, I guess, and all conditions. And I train and I do a bit of Pilates and stretching and things like that to, you know, make my body nimble and yeah, strong.
You've embraced it, but yep. Are there others that resist and they say, look, I'm a surfer, I'm only going to get better at surfing if I'm surfing?
Yeah.
Are there others that are like that?
Definitely. I went for a phase of that, for sure. I think water time is probably the best training. You know, you read waves a lot better. You know your equipment really well. You know, all conditions are always different. So the more time you spend in the water, the better. But at the same time, I think there's got to be a bit of balance. You know, you're not going to get strong legs just by surfing more. You got to get, you know, stronger core, stronger back, shoulders, everything for paddling and more explosive and all these little elements that come into surfing. So, yeah, there is some surfers out there that kind of just cruise. You know, not all surfers just go out there and compete and you know.
I nearly caught that.
Yeah. and you know, try hard. There's a lot of people out there that kind of just cruise around and don't do too much and coffee and go surfing and hang out. So for me, I like to compete and I want to, you know, be the best competitor. So I'm going to put myself in that situation.
Well, we talk about competing at the Olympics later this year, but there have been a few reports around suggesting that it may not go ahead. Unnamed sources out of the Japanese government saying that it's looking likely that it'll be cancelled and the next Olympic Games will be 2024.
Yeah.
What does somebody like you read into those comments, and how does it make you feel when you've worked so hard to get to Tokyo?
Yeah, it's quite hard at the moment. To be honest, we've got pretty good comms with the New Zealand Olympic Committee and stuff like that. They're kind of keeping us updated on what they know. So there's a lot of media around the cancellation or if it's going ahead and things like that. But for me, I'm just totally focusing on going to Japan. You know, my mind frame is going to Japan in July. If anything else happens before that, then it happens. I can't control that. So, yeah, it is. It's quite distracting. You know, I kind of just want it to happen now. You know, I want to compete, and I'm ready to compete, I guess. And I want to be a part of the whole experience. You know, the New Zealand team and traveling and hanging out with all these amazing athletes and doing things like this. And you know, just the whole journey of it all, and taking New Zealand on an awesome journey with me as well. You know, so. Yeah, I definitely want it to happen as soon as possible. But, yeah, I'm preparing for the end of July. And obviously I've got some contests before that to keep me in the roll and ball rolling. And, I'm ready.
I know that you try and stay positive. Mm-hmm. But have you allowed yourself to think of the negative side? Like if it is cancelled, what this might mean for you. Obviously, it's another 3 years down the road. If you want to go to another Olympics, will you still be surfing at that time? You know, these are all considerations I'm sure have crossed your mind.
Yeah, definitely. I try not to think about that, but obviously it comes into your mind. I'm 31 now, and I mean, I think surfers are like, you know, the performing better at an older age now, obviously with the training and things like that. And so I think I'll still be around in the next Tokyo Olympics. I hope so, anyway. Hopefully no more injuries. but yeah, I want to be around for the next Olympics, and I want to see this one through, and yeah, hopefully it happens in July, and I'm preparing for
and fingers crossed it happens, right? Well, when you look at yourself as a young surfer to what you are today, how have you changed over the years? Have you become more aggressive on the water? Have you become sort of older and smarter, and you're not as aggressive, you just do what needs to be done? You know, tell us about the change from young Billy to Billy today.
Yeah, definitely I've changed for sure, competitively. I think as a young kid, I guess I had quite a lot of natural talent, so I could just kind of go out to heats and kind of just surf a heat and catch whatever waves and do really well, especially here in New Zealand. But growing up, you learn a lot and you lose a lot. I learnt a lot losing. I always tell kids that I kind of coach and help out, you know, if you're not losing, you're not really learning, unless you're obviously, I don't know, winning everything. But I definitely have learnt a lot and I've changed. I am a lot hungrier now, I think. You know, everyone wants to win. I think some Kiwi competitors, obviously not Olympic competitors, but are quite timid and quite scared. You know, if they have a big name or something like that, you know, they kind of almost like retreat quite early. So for me, I've always kind of tried to, you know, use that name or someone or person, you know, to kind of do better in the heat and push my surfing. So I've learnt from that. And now I'm a bit more tactical in heats with priority and things like that, and wave selection, and there's a lot that goes into competing in surfing. So I'm definitely progressing as the years go on, and I'm definitely a lot smarter than I used to be in heats. And I guess it kind of goes off the national titles, and I think the consistency of the last couple of years, I've definitely improved that. So hopefully it can happen again this year.
Who do you lean on for advice and to help in your growth? You've got a coach or a mentor, or is it guys like Maz Quinn and people who have sort of been there, done that in the past? Have you got like a raft of people that you go to?
I used to have a coach with my sponsor at the time. His name was Tom Whitaker. He helped me out a lot. He used to be on the world tour and things like that. So he kind of, you know, used all his experience and taught me a bit. And then I travelled a lot with Ricardo Christie and Jay Quinn at the early ages of my career, and I learnt a lot off them as well. And then obviously seeing Ricardo make the world tour, it kind of pushed me to do better, and I really wanted to be there with him. And I think personally I've just learnt a lot and kind of taken it all in while I travel, you know, like learning from what mistakes I made in that heat and kind of taking it into the next contest. I you know, lost my mum and my main sponsor a few years ago, so I kind of had to start again and, you know, get a proper job and kind of find the love for competing and surfing again. And I found that, and it kind of, you know, made me a hungrier competitor, and made me really wanted to be a professional surfer, and I'm pretty stoked to be here right now talking to you. So yeah, you know, it's been a good journey, and I can't wait for the, you know, 2021 to roll on through.
Gosh, I was sorry to hear about your mum. I mean, when you take that into account, 2020 would have been an absolute breeze, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was a huge hit. I was really close to my mother. And like I said, I lost my major sponsor as well, so it was all one big hit, and I pretty much had to start from, you know, the bottom and start fresh. And luckily, I've got a gorgeous wife at home, and she kind of, you know, was there to support me, and we've got a dog and a cat now, and, you know, our life's kind of, you know, progressed a little bit now. And, it's been a cool journey. I think everyone's got their own story, and, you know, everyone's, you know, following their own journeys and stuff like that. So, I'm definitely fortunate to you know, be here and kind of be a professional surfer and do what I love to do as a job and as a career. So, yeah, like I like to take, you know, advantage of all the cool things that we can do and appreciate everything. So, and now I just want to, you know, bring back a medal for New Zealand. So.
Yes, please do
that. Yeah, that's the plan.
What happens after your surfing career is done? I know in talking to you previously, you've mentioned that you're getting into a little bit of mentorship, a bit of coaching. Is that where you want to head?
Yeah, for sure. To be honest, I haven't really looked outside the surf industry yet.
but I do. Why would you?
Yeah, I do like, you know, helping kids and you know, taking them. I'm having a surf camp actually this week and taking some kids around Raglan, you know, showing them, you know, the lifestyle that could be if you were a professional surfer or you wanted to make it a career. And I like coaching and helping, you know, helping them succeed. And I've actually helped a few kids along the way, you know, Safi Vitti, Finn, you know, a couple kids along the way that have done really well. So yeah, for me, giving back to the kids and, you know, being a mentor and a coach is very beneficial for me, and it, you know, keeps me young and keeps me in the, you know, the competition scene, I guess. And like I said, I love competing, so I'd like to, you know, teach a few kids, you know, to stand up, step up to the plate, and, you know, if you want to win, you know, you've got to do the right things and be hungry and ready to win. So yeah, that's something I'd definitely like to get into.
Was that something that was around when you were younger? Like, you know, I'm just trying to put myself in the shoes of some of these young kids. New Zealand's best surfer is going to take me under his wing and teach me the tricks of the trade. Like, did that happen for you?
Not so much. I had a lot of good surfers around me. You know, our age group was really competitive and good. Like I said, Ricardo and a few guys from Raglan that were really good. Daniel Kiriopa and stuff I had looked up to, and Maz and Jay and a few guys that, you know, were pretty close to me and I could, you know, bounce off them. So, but like doing, I guess, camps and things that I went to the Raglan Surf Academy as well, which was really beneficial. There's a, you know, a surf class there in Raglan. I went there for like 3 years and, you know, they kind of coach you and help you a little bit through your surfing. So that was good for me. But I think, like, there is a lot more coaches now, but back then there wasn't so much. You know, like I said, that Tom Whitaker was my coach when I was sponsored at the time, and he helped me out a lot. And just learning from those guys is very beneficial, so that's what I kind of want to do as well.
That's bloody good of you. If I know anything about sport, it's that you can't function without those sponsors that you've mentioned. And when you look at team sport, well, you know, different teams have different sponsors and they don't actually have to work that hard for it. It's just in place thanks to the organisation that they work for, right? You are an individual and you've got to work for everything you bloody well get, Billy. So, I mean, I think right now, take the opportunity to name check some of the guys who have been there with you for, you know, any part of the ride that have enabled you to represent New Zealand at the Tokyo Games.
Yeah, obviously I've got a few sponsors that are on my surfboard and have backed me for the last few years. Backdoor Surf Shop, Curve Accessories, and who else? Sharp Eye Surfboards. I've got a few. Skull Candy, Live Vision as well. Obviously, yeah, thanks for all your support. Yeah, obviously it's hard by yourself, I guess. I'm trying to work hard as well. You know, I use every contest because we go to contests and we can win prize money and things like that. I kind of use that as a you know, as a motivation to do well, so it can kind of fund my next trip. But yeah, I'm very thankful for all the support that everyone gives me, not only my sponsors but around New Zealand and around the world. So. Hopefully I'll, you know, make everyone proud.
Yeah. It must be hard though, because New Zealanders, we don't like raving about ourselves. Mm. And I guess for all intents and purposes, that's what you have to do. You need to rave about yourself to a prospective sponsor to get them on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that must
be hard. It is hard. I went through a stage I'm quite quiet and, like, you know, I kind of just lay back from everything. And, you know, I was quite scared to, I guess, be denied. And I didn't ask for so much. But yeah, now I've come to a point I'm just kind of like send a few emails out and ask around. You know, there's no harm in asking. And I guess if there's anyone out there that wants to support my journey, you know, I'm just a phone call away. But, you know, I always get a lot of support and help from, you know, friends and family. And even just messages from people is awesome. And it's a huge motivation for me, you know. So you know, that kind of drives me to do well, you know, because everyone's following my journey. I want to make them proud, and I also want to, you know, make myself proud. So,
Billy, before we go, we do this thing called the Quickfire 7. Oh. I've been guilty of not being that rapid with it, so I'm going to do my best to stay focused, and we'll just barrel through. Pardon the pun, because, you know, surfing and all that. We'll barrel through this Quickfire 7, all right?
Okay.
Seven questions for you, starting right here, right now. The Olympic rings tattoo, yay or nay?
Yay.
So you've got one, or are you about to get one?
I haven't been yet, so I'm pretty keen to get one.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos.
Oh, right, so it'll be your first.
It'll be my first.
Okay. Yeah. Best surfing location?
Oh, that's always a good question. Either Indonesia or Hawaii. Hawaii obviously has got big open waves, ocean waves. It's huge. It's a cool, beautiful place to go. And Indonesia's got all the amazing reef breaks, and it's really warm and, you know, a nice place, nice destination to go.
In a 100-metre race on land, who would win? You or Luke Sederman?
Definitely me. Farrell. I'd smoke him for sure. I reckon he'd even say that.
Yeah. Has he recovered after the maths experiment?
Oh, I don't know. He's actually got a big stride on him, so it'll be a good race. We play basketball all the time too, so that'd be actually a pretty funny race to do. I reckon I'd smoke him though.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. Your proudest achievement, what is it?
My proudest achievement. Well, hopefully it'll be being an Olympian, you know, representing New Zealand at the Olympics for the first time, and for surfing in the first time. Kelly Slater's got to be one. I think just me being myself and, you know, trying to be friendly and outgoing and, you know, trying to give back to people and kids and, you know, trying to help, I guess, kids as well. So, yeah, I guess that's one of my proudest achievements.
If you could win gold in any other Olympic event, which event would it be?
Gold in any other Olympic event.
And it doesn't, like, your dreams are free, basically. So
Basketball. Yeah.
Or golf.
If
it was basketball, it'd be like you and Stephen Adams winning gold for New Zealand.
That'd be pretty sick,
eh? Jeez, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
He'd be like way up there, though.
Yeah, and he'd be like looking down
here. I reckon that'd be pretty fun.
Any code, what's your favourite sports team?
Probably the All Blacks, I guess. I mean, they're a huge inspiration to all athletes, I think. And I'm always proud to watch them on the TV and, you know, support them and go to their games. And so probably the All Blacks. All Blacks, I reckon.
All right, and last but not least, I think this is seven. That one. Yeah, this is number seven, Billy. Let's say you're about to head out, you're in Chiba, and you're competing for gold.
Yep.
It's the gold medal event.
Yep.
What's on Spotify? What song are you listening to try and amp yourself up to win gold for yourself and New Zealand?
I'm actually, like, real bad at remembering names, so I couldn't actually tell you a song.
Or just sing us a few lines.
There's definitely no way I'm singing. But I don't know, maybe some, like, hip-hop or something, like maybe some Shapeshifter or something, some motivational, you know, upbeat kind of tunes to get me going. I like to get some upbeat kind of music to get the heart rate pumping and get me into a bit of a rhythm. So something along those lines, I guess, yeah.
All right.
But I couldn't tell you.
Hopefully that was a bit more rapid for you, Christina. I apologise for all past endeavours. Billy, absolute pleasure to sit down with you today, mate. I wish you all the best for Tokyo. And as you say, get over there.
Yep.
Win gold, bring it back, and we can all celebrate with you.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for your time, mate. Cheers. I appreciate it.
Awesome.